2013 NFL Scouting Combine coverage continues on Jaguars.com. We welcome you into Lucas Oil Stadium, the home of the Colts. It's inside the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick, the senior writer for Jaguars.com. John Osier, first day in here inside Lucas Oil Stadium. We're inside the East Club lobby here, and it's buzzing today. A lot going on first day in.
Yeah, it's striking how much the Combine has changed. I think I covered my first one, 99-2000, and we were in the RCA Dome. And what a difference it is. It was very unorganized at that point. You had to sort of grab people coming in and out of different rooms. Here, everything's centralized. You get players coming in all the time. And it's really become NFL central for the offseason.
Over 800 credentialed media members for this event.
Not that many in my first one, maybe 100.
So yes.
It's grown that much.
It absolutely has. You had a chance yesterday to sit down with General Manager Dave Caldwell over the hotel. The interviews went up this morning on Jaguars.com, so check them out if you haven't had a chance. But he talked very candidly with you about the plans for free agency coming up.
Yeah, and I think the key is all of us in the media, the fans, everybody, talk about getting better in free agency, talk about filling needs. It doesn't sound like there's going to be very much of that. This is a guy who believes in building through the draft, as we talked about before we came on. When you hire David Caldwell, this is what you hire. He's going to build through the draft. He believes in it. There's not going to be a whole lot of free agency until they start filling needs down the road. It's the right way to do it. Anybody who's built a franchise who you talk to around here knows it's the right way to do it, and it's the plan for the Jaguars moving forward.
Well, what about the fans who say, hey, we want to win this year. We want to get this free agent, that free agent, and try to go for it all now?
They can say that. No, I don't mean to diminish that, because you want to win now, but you want to do it the right way. And in the two franchises Dave's been involved with, Atlanta, the Colts, even back to Carolina, but mainly the Colts in Atlanta, they did that. They drafted their quarterback early. They got a foundation set, and then they started moving forward. Once they realized the holes that could be filled, essentially you don't want to go out and sign free agents that then take up room on your rosters for players that you want to build around. And that's going to be the philosophy going forward. It may not be incredibly popular at first, but over time you're going to see the benefits of growing this thing organically.
Let's get back to this combine, the first day in here in Indianapolis. Offensive tackles and guards were on the podium today, and of course that's a position group that a lot of folks feel is very strong, even at the very top of this draft.
Yeah, it's always high profile because you've always got, or usually have a left tackle or two around the top of the draft. This year you've got Luke Jokel and you've got Eric Fisher.
Oh, Fisher.
Yeah, the tackle. Wormack, who you mentioned, top guard in the draft. What's really unusual is that top guard is even being talked about as maybe the number one overall pick. I doubt that happens. That's extremely high for a guard, but it sounds like you're going to see that guy get really strong top five consideration, remarkably high for a guard.
And not only were there players on the podium today, but certain general managers and coaches were scheduled today. The Jaguars crew, Caldwell and Bradley, will be on the podium tomorrow. Also, check out Jaguars.com tomorrow morning. It's Friday morning. Gus Bradley interview, exclusive one-on-one right here on the website. Now, we had a chance earlier also to catch up with a national perspective. Of course, a lot of national media here in Indianapolis throughout the week for the Scouting Combine. We caught up with some of the Jags fans' favorite. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk talks about the Jaguars offseason. It's been a tumultuous offseason, of course, again in Jacksonville. But what are your thoughts about Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, and the new regime?
Well, the fact that the Jets really wanted Dave Caldwell and the Jaguars got him, that's a win for the Jaguars in a season where there were only two of them. This counts in the offseason. And this is all part of the, building hope, and everybody's 0-0. And the Jaguars got a lot of work to do, especially with the Texans and the Colts in their division, and the Titans are no slouch either. But they're laying the foundation, and I think that's the key with a new owner. You got to be patient, lay the foundation, don't change out too quickly. Now that you've got a new coach in place with the new GM, give it some time to percolate. Give it some time to build, and don't expect great things right away. If great things happen, that's great. But give it time and work a long-term plan.
A lot of youth in general manager offices now around the league. It seems that trend is getting younger and younger. Is that what you're seeing too? Yeah. What are some positives and negatives of that?
Well, one of the big positives is the young GMs don't cost very much, and that's part of the reality. You can get the guys cheaper when they're young, and there's this sense, a young guy, a grinder, a guy who's really been out there, had enough time in the trenches learning how to find diamonds in the rough. The Ryan Grigson hire by the Colts last year, I think, has helped push the GM more toward that mindset of a young guy, fresh ideas. And you got to be careful if you're a team how much you say that, because the next thing you know, you get sued for age discrimination. But that's part of what owners are looking for. They want young guys with new ideas, new approaches, always willing to find better ways of doing business with a willingness to make a mistake, because sometimes it's going to work out, sometimes it's not, and you move forward. And Gus Bradley's a well-respected defensive coordinator. I just think that it's all moving in the right direction for the Jaguars. And part of the beauty of the NFL is everybody gets thrown into the same blender. You play 16 games, you win some, you lose some, and you see how it all plays out. And I think there's always reason in every city for hope. But I really do think, and I know Jaguars fans have been through a lot in recent years, they deserve a better product than what they've gotten. They've supported a bad product for a long time. Maybe the product's going to improve.
Do you get a lot of feedback from Jacksonville fans and folks around the area?
I get a little feedback from Jacksonville fans. And, I mean, there's a perception that I hate the Jaguars and that I hate Jacksonville. I love Jacksonville. I've been down there twice for the Gator Bowl. And I see what that stadium's like when it's full. And it's been full for the Gator Bowl when West Virginia's played there. And I feel like that the people in Jacksonville should embrace the fact there's an NFL team there. And the problem, it's almost like when you're in school and half the class is missing, the teacher complains, and the people who are there are the ones who take the brunt of it.
Well, John, as always, Mike Florio's pretty opinionated, right?
We did, and as Jaguars fans well know, he's going to call like he sees it. But it certainly sounds like Mike is hearing the same things a lot of us are hearing, that the direction the Jaguars are going is a positive direction. As you mentioned before, it may take a while to get to where fans want, but things are moving in the right direction, and you're hearing that around the league.
Another feature we'll have this week on Inside the Jaguars here at the Combine, we'll hear from some draft analysts about specifically what the Jaguars might do with the number 2 pick in this year's draft. Today we caught up with Rob Rang of CBSSports.com.
Well, I think this is a draft class that, you know, while a lot of people are talking about the lack of skill position players, it sets up well for the Jaguars, just because the fact that when you look at their defense, this is a club that needs some help stopping the run and rushing the passer. And this is a very good draft class for the pass rushers, for defensive linemen as a whole. So, obviously, sitting number 2, assuming that the Kansas City Chiefs go as expected and take either the offensive tackle Luke Joku from Texas A&M or the quarterback, then it sets up for the Jaguars to be able to take essentially their best pick of the defensive linemen this year. And so I really like Bjorn Werner from Florida State. Obviously, he'd be an interesting fit just because of the local ties that he would bring. Jarvis Jones from Georgia is a very productive player. He makes some sense as well. So Star Lotulelei from Utah is a talented defensive tackle. Sharif Floyd from Florida. I mean, again, I can mention all kinds of players because that's the beauty of being able to pick number 2 overall when you expect the team taking number 1 to take an offensive player.
This is one of the most unique top 10 possibility drafts in a long time. Nobody really knows who's going to go 1 through 10. How soon do you see that shaping up and see kind of an order coming through?
I think it's going to be right up until draft day, essentially, because you know the Kansas City Chiefs, unless they make a move in free agency or for a trade for a veteran, are going to have to consider the quarterback position. And so if they don't go quarterback, then, of course, it's wide open. I really think that it's going to wind up being one of those years where we're going to see players that are drafted number 1 or number 2. There's going to be teams drafted number 10 that wouldn't necessarily have had them as their highest-rated prospect. This is, as we're seeing the NFL become more about these hybrid fronts, so to speak, teams are going to be looking for players who fit in that, and they're very different players and fit into each different scheme. So like I mentioned Jarvis Jones, for example, before from Georgia, a guy who led the country in sacks and tackles for loss and forced fumbles. I mean, absolutely dynamic player, but at 6'2", 240 pounds, where does he really fit in?
Certainly very nice thoughts from Rob Rang, and we'll have a different analyst each day this week.
Sure, and Rob's a guy that, you know, probably not as high profile as maybe a Mayock or a Kuiper. I've always found him to be very reliable, does a good job.
Well, busy week coming up, John. Mm-hmm. Starting tomorrow, the Jaguars guys are all here, and it gets even crazier than today.
And what's crazier is we really get started tomorrow. So it's a busy week and a lot of information coming out here. It's a lot of fun.
Good stuff, Johnny.
Thanks, JP.
That's it from Indianapolis. Day 1 of the Scouting Combine is done. Thanks for watching Inside the Jaguars.